April 7, 2023. It's a Watch for Pedro show. Show. Happy Friday. It's good Friday, right? We start off with Bob's Boys. This is John Coltrane with Hank Mobley, Zoot Sims, Al Cohn, four tenors this album. It's pretty trippy. And then we had Sick Walt with City of Idiots. And people, you could tell I'm not man-load mode because of those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention. I got Sick Walt all the way from Queens, Storia.
Welcome, Mike. Mike, thanks for having me on, man.
Absolute welcome aboard.
Yeah, so you kicked
right away
off.
We got to give credit.
Yep.
Right, for the connect to Chris Pizzolo.
Chris Pizzolo, my brother in arms over here in Queens, played bass with Sick Walt and on the record Shovin' Love. He's a dear friend and a great spirit over here, an extreme positive force here in Astoria, and he is the blessed one that brought me to you, my man. And we go back. I mean, it's been 6 degrees of separation, you and I, for over the years. So to come back full circle, I met you in Hellride in 2000 at like 14 below in Santa Monica.
S&M.
Oh, my God. I was visiting L.A. and couldn't wait to see the Porno for Pyros crew. And you came out and ripped Stooges and got me even more excited. And then you and I had a beer after the show talking. And then from then on. And then we met back in New York. You came back. I was working at Brownies.
Oh, yeah. That was a big gig for me.
Mike, you did Hellride East with Lee Ronaldo. And you guys end up doing spoken
word. Jay Mask, yeah, Lee Ronaldo, right. Jay Mask is Murph. Spoken word. And I remember that with him. And then we did Stooges with the Hell Ride East. That was after my sickness. That was my comeback stuff.
It was. I didn't know the timing of that in your life. I didn't know.
But the illness almost killed me 23 years ago. Shit, time flies.
I read about that. So we met, and you came from Richard Hell's apartment.
That's right. Well, I got to play his bass, the first bass he bought.
You were like, well, I was just in Richard Hell's apartment.
Fucking total mind blow. Total mind blow. And playing that bass that he did, you know, you got to lose. He told me it was the first bass line he wrote. When I put a picture of him on my bass in 1977, that was like a line in the sand.
Right. Yeah. I don't play bass, but yeah, I used to. Your picture goes up in my mind all the time, man. You're such a powerful light and spirit in music. Your spirit is like, you just play with everybody, and it's all about the music all the time. And I thank you for everything and all your inspiration, man.
Well, you're most welcome. We keep on keeping on. I want to learn about your journey through music. Please bring your earliest musical recollection.
You know, man, I will tell you, I've been extremely musical all my life. My first moment was like 7 years old. I grew up with a stack of Beatles records, Beach Boys records, like Kenny Rogers' greatest hits, like Michael Jackson. And the Beatles records were my earliest. And it was mid-70s. I was late 70s. I'm 7 years old, jumping on my parents' bed, using a tennis racket for an air guitar, and the Beatles Revolution, that opening guitar riff. And I wanted Revolution, man, jumping up and down.
Yeah.
And, you know, man, it sounds, I get excited, and it sounds like I over... That moment, you trace it back, and I remember, you can trace back to the spirit in your heart at that moment, and that, like, kick-started me, was the lightning bolt.
That got it lit.
Yeah, man, it was unbelievable, that which led to, like, being in the basement, pitch black with Sabbath records, and MC5 records, and Kick Out the Jams, motherfucker, and Search and Destroy. I'm a street-walking cheetah.
With a heart full of napalm.
When I heard you were doing
I'm a runaway son from...
Absolutely.
World's Forgotten Boy. Look, we're talking about records. Let me ask you, first record you bought with your own money, please.
I went to Record World out here. It was a 45. I bought Pink Floyd, Another Brick in the Wall on 45. I forget the B-side. My brother bought Steve Miller, Abracadabra.
Like yours better, but not much. Yeah. I wasn't much into the Walls. I liked that. What was that one called? Piper at Gates of Dawn. And the animal one. The one with only like three songs. Let me ask you, first gig you saw?
Ramones, 13 years old.
Yes. And what about at school? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
I was an athlete. I was a complete athlete. People would call it a jock, but the metalheads, I was down with every walk of life in my school. Metalheads were like that. I know today my buddies who own St. Vitus, they're like, you were the only guy that transferred over that line that was accepted by all the groups. I had much ultimate respect for everybody. I just happened to be blessed with an athlete, and I was just a performer and always a character, singing in the shower. And always getting school things riled up, you know, on the border of revolution and rebellion. But, you know, I was a cheerleader all the time, like just in life and spirit at the top of my lungs. And that's how I got the name. I don't know if you're going to get to it, but.
Let's get to it right now.
It just segues. I didn't mean it, but it comes around senior year of high school. Coming off the football field, two of my friends were all covered in mud. In all equipment, we have to walk through the locker room, through all the little freshmen that are 14 years old, like just going through puberty, and they're skinny with towels. And my buddy just grabs one of them, and he goes, "Do you know who the fuck you're talking to right now? Do you know who that is?" And the kid, cowering, soaking wet, goes, "That's Sick Walt, man. Everybody knows him." And I had no idea that they referred to me, that whole freshman class referred to me as Sick Walt. It became... And everybody was like, "Yeah, man, I guess that's right. You're Sick Walt."
Did you ever find out why that happened?
Well, I mean, just because of my antics, of my high energy, and just always just always being on, and not like always on. I'm not always on, but group, you know, just antics of gathering and getting people a collective and bringing people together and leading the pack and leading rumbles, leading fights.
Lightning rod.
That I just was blessed with that leadership ability and that energy. And I used to take it upon myself for good and for bad. And, you know, they could always hear my big mouth screaming at football and always running around, getting everybody going. And I became sick.
Instigator. Because, you know, it was slang. Like, I use the slang bad, meaning good. So sick don't have to mean like perv. It can mean like fucking happening, right?
1,000%. Like, sick in the head. Like, this guy's you're sick. Like, I'm just passionate. I'm obsessed with determination, and it's like a disease infected with passion is a lyric of a new song coming out. I'm like a disease.
Do you remember the first fucking song you wrote?
Oh man, I think it was Heart of a Buffalo, and I don't know if I put that on your list because it was a slow ballad.
Okay, how did it happen? How you get into songwriting?
No, my first song was Say Something. I think it's on there. Say Something. Say Something.
Yes, it's going to be the next song we play. Let's play it right now.
Say Something.
a beer and put our feet in. Look at each other and smile.
kind of delusion. Buying into all the fear and all the blame. We're all suffering through unprofound conclusions. And time and memory will always make it strange.
Bodies for observation. have abused my privilege. An invitation to suffering, an invitation to suffering for you.
Avenue D.
Yeah, you bring it all. Spin the world around, shake, rattle and roll. Spin the world around, shake, rattle and roll. When all this plastic comes and gets me, I'm gonna give it back his soul.
Watch for Pedro show that chunk of music star with Sick Walt doing Say Something, first tune he wrote, people. Then we had Maxine Funk. She's got a new tune. It's called River Said. That's, she said river. Okay, Shadow Animals after that. That's Brother Jason from the Cutthroat Brothers. He's got a new proj called Shadow Animals, and This Town is the name. Muskeg Mudsuck out of Anchorage, Alaska with Anaton. Andre Vita out of Berlin with Change in Lockets, 19 minutes, 40 seconds. Is that a bad name? With Fourth Dimension, Garrett T. Caps in NASA County. No, NASA Country, sorry. Better, getting better. Guided by Voices, Wild Kingdom. Brand new. Better get it now because he's going to have another one in 2 weeks. Bob Pollard, man. Manda UFO after that with Cement and Reasoning. Of course they go together. Adam Trumbo with Lean Into the Pain. And finally, Sick Walt / Shovin' Love. Die Like Belushi. One time I met John Belushi accidentally. Minutemen were not allowed to play the Whiskey A Go-Go because we were considered a violent SST band. So who gets us in there to open for them? Fear. And who's buddies with Fear? John Belushi. So I go in there to the dressing room upstairs. Before we go on, to say thank you to Mr. Ving, and John Belushi's there, and he's got this kind of butane torch. He's busy. So anyway,
yeah,
that's your first tune. Say Something.
We're back on?
Yeah, we're on.
Oh, brother, I didn't know if you were still doing your credit, talking your credit story.
But the credits are on. I'm just speaking it for you.
Belushi, yeah, but the butane, yeah, no doubt, man.
Yeah, like a torch, right? Like a, what they called it, a base? But yeah, not base like I work, but yeah, that's it.
Some kind
Cho-cho with the paste kind of thing, yeah. So now you want your heart to just jump out of your chest, I guess. So tell me the circumstances that led you to writing your very first song, Say Something.
So, like I said, I worked in the East Village for a long time before I hit L.A. In the 90s. I worked at Brownies, Mercury Lounge, Bowery Ballroom, 2A. Huge music lover. Was an actor right out of college. Then was always always hung with musicians. And my ex-roommate in college was a very good friend of mine. He used to play in Sick of It All, Murphy's Law.
Oh, yeah.
H2O, Burn. He did tours with everybody. Max Capshaw, man.
Respect.
And so Max was playing. I got his band the project he was on at the time. I got him on a show at Bowery Ballroom. And I had always jumped in and sang at friends' rehearsals. And I've always sang at bars with my friends' bands. And he's like, I think it's time Sick Walt fronts the band. So he asked me to sing at this benefit. So we rehearsed the 5 songs, and it was fantastic. I went to my first gig. I was in a college band with him in the 90s, 20 years prior. What is my timeline? Anyway, I was in a college band. I hadn't been on a stage in 10 to 15 years, and the first stage I was on was the Bowery Ballroom. I sang to about 400 people there, and the place went nuts. It had been like, it was all quiet and sullen, and the other bands were doing all right. We hit the stage, the place went ballistic. People started just like throwing stuff and bodies flying everywhere. It was unbelievable. And backstage, he was like, did you see that? We have to make music. And so he handed me a bunch of songs, just all of the music that he created. And I started writing songs. And the first song I wrote was Say Something. I wrote City of Idiots because it was about L.A. at the time. About my experience in L.A. It was crazy. I had a crazy whack. It could be pretty crazy in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I had amazing experiences, some of the most beautiful, amazing times of my life, but it was a crazy town and not really for me.
Yeah.
So, and I wrote Say Something and Heart of a Buffalo. I was out one day. It was a slower song. We grew up on hardcore and punk. We grew up on Minutemen and, you know, Black Flag, Circle Jerks, and everybody, 7 Seconds, Fear. Those are my roots, besides, you know, Ramones, besides the New York stuff. But, and I started writing that stuff. I just sat down and I wrote Heart of a Buffalo was a ballad, and it all came to me. And
now this happens after the first gig. So what did you sing for them first 5 songs? His song?
The project that he was singing was a band called Poor Lily.
Yeah.
I think he just came out of the video. One of the many projects that he is a consummate musician.
Sure.
And he, like yourself, and just works and plays with everybody, and he just oozes music. And is always writing in every different genre. He's an unbelievable drummer, but so he was playing guitar for this project, and I sang kind of hardcore tunes, I guess, heavier tunes, and it was called for Poor Lily. So after that, we put together 3 songs. We recorded Say Something, City of Idiots, and Your Lies. And we put that out on a little EP.
So that's your that's your first record.
That was our first record.
Wow.
That was my first in my life. And
what was that like to go into the studio first time?
Mike, man, because I'd always been next to the artist hanging out. I'd always been in the rehearsal rooms and, you know, dicking around with the mics. I'm like Ozzy Osbourne. I'm just pure passion. And I didn't know any of the technical. I don't know what key I'm in. I don't know. I've gotten a lot better. Still don't know the key, but just pure raw energy, spirit. And I would be Max's roadie for all our shows in college throughout New York in the garages, in the warehouses. He'd be playing for Murphy's Law and Sick of It All, and I'd be on stage holding the cymbals. And now I'm in this. To see him as excited about the music that I wrote, the lyrics that I wrote for his songs was an honor and so exciting. And just to follow him around and then to be in the studio, you know, it was a whole new process for me. And it's phenomenal to dissect music like that. The science of music.
Oh, yeah.
You know, coming from the stage and the movie and film and being a sick wolf, just out my energy because I'm a high energy passionate man, but then there's that side of live music that I loved, but to sit and dissect science and sounds and, you know, sonically to think of that up and it brought me such beautiful respect for so many bands that I love, of just like a Pink Floyd, you loved so much of it. And then to see behind the curtain and to see the thought process.
Yeah.
Just you know, man, you know what to think when I was listening to, Led Zeppelin, No Quarter, man. No Quarter, Led Zeppelin. How dark that sound, the song goes, and the voice.
Right, underwater. Let me ask you, how many takes did you do?
It wasn't. I'm coming from being that I was an actor for 20 years, I'm a man of preparation.
Sure.
And so I was as prepared as I could be, just natural takes. You know, we would bang it out in, you know, maybe 3 to 5, you know. We knew we'd get one and then some other ones just to cover it, to cut, to punch in. You know,
I'm just asking because there's this whole story where James Jamerson's talking about recording with Smokey Robinson. And he says, you know, about take 248, the rigor mortis started setting in the groove.
I was just curious.
So, okay, you get this 3-song EP out, 7-inch, right? You're slinging that. Are you doing gigs at that time?
Man, we went on to play, played Mercury Lounge, Bowery Electric. We've played so, you know.
No, I'm talking right about that moment. I'm doing a little historical thing here.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay. So you got this three-song thing. Now, you had to get the songs together for a set, so you need more than three songs.
Okay, okay, yes, okay. So that we did. We put that out, correct. And we did like a small little, like a listening party for like 100 people, and the two of us would do it, you know, and then we started finding, I was blessed to find a couple of musicians. I found a guy I worked with, Pat Fisher. I just got to give him the credit, man.
Sure,
Pat
sure.
Fisher was our first bassist, came out of the Seaport. I was bartending down in the South Street Seaport, and he said, I'll play bass. And then he brought us Matt Middleton, this other guitarist, a friend of his.
Yeah.
And they helped us, they kicked this off and start playing. And that got the ball rolling for Sick Walt. And, you know, I'm, you know, very eternally grateful for them for their time and energy. And that was fantastic.
Who was on the drums?
Max Capshaw.
Oh, so Max did the drums because I thought he was playing. Oh, he played guitar in Lily.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I wasn't clear about that.
Okay, that's
Max
all right.
is a phenomenal drummer.
Sure,
phenomenal
sure.
drummer.
I think if you're a good drummer, you probably can play anything because, man, it's rhythm music.
I guess, yeah. You know, yeah.
No, I really have got kind of a beef against some motherfuckers about this, Sick Walt, because they treat drummers like they ain't musicians. This is bullshit.
Right, right, man. When they know their stuff, man, and they know the key using the drums. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. Much, much respect. Chico Hamilton couldn't get songwriting credits. Why? Because the notes are too short? Learn something, motherfuckers.
Right.
Anyway, can you remember? Okay, so you do this listening party. Do you remember? And what? You listen to what you recorded, but when do you remember the first time Sick Walt plays a gig?
Wow. I don't.
Remember, it's a Watch for Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
it was around, you know, we played either Mercury Lounge or a Bowery Electric.
Let me ask you, was it a success or a failure?
Mike, it was a great success.
Yes.
Sick Walt came out strong and we.
Hard Charger.
It was fantastic. And I was a green singer, like trying to get my voice together and learn the art of
learning
singing.
By doing, though. But man, that's the best way. That's part of the movement, right? So look, we're at the end of the first hour. We're gonna have to continue on because April 7, 2023 edition. Watt Pedro's a special guest, Sick Walt. Hold tight for hour two. April 7, 2023. It's the second hour. What for Pedro's show?
Beg for help, come in, they say. Next I knew was there to stay. Clamps and straps lay at my feet, and seven of them surrounded me.
think twice. 7 of them, I had no choice. 14, I did as much as 2. 7 showed I would not lose.
for Pedro show. We start off the second hour with Sick Walt, Shovin' Love.
Yeah.
Seven of them. And then we had Alexander Hacks, Hackup. I'm sorry. Sorry, Alexander. Alexander Hacker with his big piece where an imaginary young man in Berlin. And this part is called Mumien, Monstren, and Mutation. My German is terrible. Sorry. Pardon. Just tut mir leid. Ante Strawberry after that with Splash. Yeah, Brother Brian Lane, he made me a little exciter for my bass string. I'm going to record for Walter Wright and Al Margolis a little later today. After that, from Poland, Arkuli Rola with Snowden. You know, my Polish is worse, okay, people. Just not Zizia. Sorry, fuck. Okay. Angry Silence after that with The Best Place in the Sun. I fuck up English, too. and then finally, Sick Walt with Shovin' Love. Love Alignment. You know, it's all the Slash Shovin' Love. Are they a backup band?
No, that was just the title of the record. I misunderstood.
Oh, okay.
The way
okay.
You described how I should cut the information on the track.
That's the album title the song's from, people. Okay.
Yeah.
No, okay, it's not. I thought it was a little collab there. No, it ain't. That's the name of the record.
Right on.
Okay, okay. We're learning like you did with singing, like why we're doing it, yeah. Like why we're on the air. Okay. So let's continue on. Do you guys go on tour?
That's the thing, man. We have tried. There's been different phases of the band trying to get our foot out of the box, and it was just this record. We finally put Shovin' Love together, and then there was a whole bunch of different people had some personal stuff that year. That's when we were supposed to do a prison tour. Yeah, I'll tell you about that in a second. Actually, I got to tell you that's an amazing. But we never got out of New York. We've just been playing because then that fell apart that personnel fell apart for a few months due to some personal reasons. And then my second phase, I brought in Rob Buckley on guitar. He just got off a tour with Cro-Mags.
Yeah.
And Eric Goat on drums from Misfits. He was the drummer for Misfits.
Sure. I remember. And so Matt, you had to say bye-bye to Max.
Yeah, he was married with a child, young kid, changes people's, you know, so they have obligations.
Sea change, like yeah, sea change.
Priorities, man, and, absolutely. You know, they can only do so much. So
he
was there from a distance, but had to take care of his family, totally understood.
Yeah, understood, but he got you lit, so that's fucking bitching.
Absolutely, man, everything happens for a reason, I truly believe. You know, and step by step, people come into your lives to help move you along.
Right. So phase two fizzles.
Phase two, we were kicking ass and rolling. We were just about to open for Murphy's Law.
Yeah.
We were just asked on the Joey Ramone birthday bash. And
whoa.
Then, yo.
What happened? Yeah. What? Yeah. You got me. I'm listening. Yeah. I'm hanging on every word there, Sickwell.
And then COVID hit. COVID hit that March. We were supposed to open up on St. Patty's Day from the famous St. Patty's Day Murphy's Law show.
Right, because March 2020 was when the situation appeared.
March 15th, they closed in New York, and we canceled everything, and we lost it. So then the momentum stops then, and then COVID stops for 2 years, you know, 2 years, and we finally came out of the dust, God willing, everybody, to get the wheels rolling for the third time. 23, right before last year, we started rolling again.
You said you wanted to tell me something about the prison tour.
Okay, so Chris Pizzolo, like he said on his show, was great how I met Pizzolo. It was divine. He was working in a record store. I was looking for a place to spin the master vinyl that Max and I just got done. And Chris was like, play it here. So we played. And then I was like, oh, yeah, we need a bass player. And he was like, I'll play bass for you. So that's how I met Pizzolo. Beautiful, divine interaction. He is a king of all media, always hustling.
Just a second. What's up? Who's there?
It's the police.
It's the police? Okay. I'm doing my radio shows, officer. Yes, I will. But it's difficult. This isn't the front door. This is the back door, officer. Okay, yeah, because I'm doing my radio show. I couldn't hear. I'm sorry. I'm doing my radio
show. Stay safe.
Through the front door. What's that?
There was a 911 hang-up from this location.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I didn't. Nobody answered the phone. I've been doing my radio show.
Okay, yeah, we've been trying to call you.
You know what? AT&T, my phone is damaged. I can't get calls.
Oh, okay. You okay, Mike?
Yes, sir. You're absolutely. I have no idea what's going on.
Okay. So you don't need any kind of medical help? Or?
No, sir.
Okay. That's what we're worried about.
Yes, sir.
Your car out there and we thought you might have been. We were about to kick you in the door.
Oh, shit. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Oh, you have neighbors that think that you have some help.
Well, yeah, I got a bad knee.
Okay.
God bless, man.
Okay. Everything's okay, officer. I'm sorry for the mistake.
All right. Have a good
okay.
Oh, my God.
Man, that was weird.
Thank God everybody's okay, but that's fantastic. Yeah. I can't believe that happened on this show.
No, I can't either, but let's play some music.
All right, man, you get yourself together.
Yeah. presence when we once ignored. We're full of doubt, but now it manifests itself. And so
Watch for Pedro show. Sorry about that. You got some real life there. It's the Watch for Pedro show, and we don't fake shit here. We said that chunk of music started off with Sick Walt, Age, Shove, and Love. That's the name of the album, people. Song for Johnny. Then we had Girls in Synthesis with Bypassing. The Hatch with Retina SS. Primitive Ignorant. High Rise Vampires. Pineapple Empress out of South London with Suki's Gonna Play Under the Stars. Party Nerves with Bermuda. Not Bermuda. Bermuda. And then finally, Sick Walt with Demand the Stage.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get where you are. You got Chris on bass, and you start doing gigs.
So we're talking about the prison tour, and we're so ironic that the cops show up when I'm talking about the prison tour. That's amazing.
Makes sense.
So Chris is like a king of all media. Immediate Family is his company. He's always thinking and hustling and very effective at it. And he's like, yo, man, you're Sick Walt. He goes, you don't belong playing some little small cafe in the corner or something. He goes, you belong playing prisons. And I was like, great idea, man, and I'm a huge Johnny Cash fan, and that's a huge inspiration. And, you know, I also taught music at Rikers Island for Wayne Kramer for the jail guitar.
Brother Wayne Kramer, yes.
I taught. You know, he asked us to run his program out in Rikers Island.
And I remember that song, Mick Jones. Let me tell you, my friend named Wayne in his deals or whatever. Yeah. I've gotten to jam a couple times with Brother Wayne Kramer. Beautiful.
Yeah, great guy, man. Great guy. Many blessings to them.
Yeah. And then he had a band with Johnny Thunders called Gang War.
Yep. He did that record, Gang Wars. He's played with a lot of people, too, man. He always is always doing projects.
That's right.
Music, man.
That's right. And
he's doing soundtracks and scores now, I think.
Is that what he's doing? Yeah. But I know he still is involved with that. So you did some teaching in there. Okay.
Yeah, for a year and a half at Rikers Island, which was eye-opening. So we started playing prisons, and then we played a female prison out here. We played, and then local prisons in New York, and we were setting up a whole tour, and you know, before some things fell apart. But the updated news is that we're playing Bedford Hills Maximum Security Women's Prison in May, this May. I got it back on. Chris was like, you should call them again, and it feels great to be able to go give back. It's unbelievable the response of to see the inmates go nuts, especially women, female inmates. It was just, they come up to you and they're just like, thank you so much, just to get them out of their cells and out of their heads and to bring them regular life for 2 hours. It's really a beautiful experience to give back in music. It's really, you got to pay, you know, you got to get your gear in there and such and do it all yourself.
Yeah.
But do a performance like that. It's like when you do it on a street corner and the way you do it, man, you'll play with anybody at any time, anywhere, and your passion will play so as amazing as you do, as if you were playing Stooges on the middle of Coachella. But you go into prison and playing there, it's quite exciting.
Well, music's a special thing that can connect us humans without being...
Absolutely.
Yeah, right,
vibration. Right. It's like string theory.
Absolutely.
We're pieces of vibration. Absolutely. So it makes sense how much it connects to us.
Total mistake. Total sense. And I'm a total believer, like you said, Sick Walt. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, April 7, 2023 edition. Watt Pedro says, special guest, Sick Walt. Hold tight, hour three. April 7, 2023. It's third hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
And with the summer heat, all over me, thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. Start off the third hour with Sick Walt doing Million Dollar Man.
Hey.
Yeah. Then the Singleman Affair with Someone Who Has Someone Else. Sam Lockward, Iowa City with Party. And then Sick Walt with Truth Trader. So, you know, I remember you had to come up with songs at the beginning, but what's your process these days?
Well, my process these days, we were, you know, I'll continue. I write when I'm walking. Johnny Cash was talking about how you got to fill up the pot. He can't just go and write a song. You got to go fill up the pot. And he's like, and maybe if I take a walk in the woods when I come out, you know, I'll have a song to write. So I like to do a lot of meditating, like walking. I do a lot of walking to myself, and I like to write the thoughts and go after songs. I usually get the music first when I get the music. So we have new songs. I'm getting back in the. We're getting Max Pizzolo and myself are getting back together right now to write the second Sick Walt record. Right now, it's been unbelievable these past few weeks. The word is on that we're getting together, so we're collecting our material, and the demos are getting exchanged right now, and then I start taking my walks and start, you know, you start dancing with the music, like, what do I want to exude here? What is the story I want to tell? And then just let the pen fly, you know?
Sure, sure. And do you keep a notebook? Or do you keep...
Yes, I do many notebooks. Okay. I'm writing a lot. I always write notebooks, like always.
So that means like you got a trove of words to choose from, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I will listen to a song, pull the recent notebooks or where I keep my most... And just page through stuff, looking for some phrases that fit, that can get me started. Like, I like this idea, let's go with it. And then, you know, you just keep walking meditation of just going. And as the perfectionist as I prepare too much, when I hear, like, I heard David Lee Roth talking about 1984, he was out all night partying. He came and he was supposed to record the next day, and he came in, and I can't remember what song he was talking about. And the manager's like, you got your stuff? And he's like, I didn't have anything ready. And he's like, yeah. And he just come, or how Iggy Pop is notorious for being able to write on the spot.
Right.
In the floor of the studio.
He calls it, you know what he calls it? He calls it shooting from the hip.
Shooting from the hip. And he does it so well.
Yeah.
I'm more of a bookworm that I have to write and hash it out and really go over it.
And,
I mean, it may sound like I'm a Bob Dylan. I am not, but that's how my writing process goes, because I'm not. It doesn't flow so freely off my lips.
No, but everybody's got their own way, and they got to find their own way and develop it the way they do.
Exactly.
And that's why I'm interested, you know, because they ain't all the same. It's not just like some, Marlon Brando generic kind of thing. It's personalized to the person and the situation. What about titles? When do you think of the title, first or last?
Last. I will jot down a list of possible titles in my head as I go through my the creative process, and then we'll finally, how do you want to stamp this final piece? You know, how do you want to stamp it?
Well, I always ask that question because I'm opposite. I have to start with the title or I got no anchor. But most people answer the way you do.
Your words. Your literature, your eloquence, looking at your catalog of history of everything that you've written, the titles. What is it? What is the Walnuts Yonder?
Big Walnuts Yonder.
Oh, your titles are so great. They're so the word coupling is fantastic. Kudos to you, man. That's amazing.
That's like an old New York-y Walt Whitman kind of trip.
Yeah.
I actually got it from Richard Meltzer, you know, who is an old New Yorker guy. And look, what about this one here? O-way-ha.
O-way-ha. Okay. The inspiration from that, you will hear, I was a huge Jane's Addiction fan, huge, and loved the spirit and mental of Perry.
Yeah,
of how
sure.
He could sing about love and then sing about hate and want to fuck. He would want the place to just rip the place apart. And the greatest song of, if anybody, I'm not a man of lists, but when people say, what's your favorite song? I can pretty much say one of my strongest songs is Ocean Size.
About, oh, yeah.
I'm as deep as the ocean. I've seen the ocean break on the shore, and they come together with no harm done. How deep the ocean is and how unexplored the ocean is. I lived on Venice Beach for 10 years, and I walked that beach. It was my 40 days and 40 nights of my life when I was out there alone, you know, not knowing anybody and making the best, trying to attack creativity out there. And just me walking under that moon, many walks, not on drugs or anything, but taking those walks for connection. And Ocean Size just would give me that deep strength of. So with that said, I wanted a big song, and Oh Way Ha, that music came about, and it really explodes. And it was my chant. And I came up with, I've followed Buddhism and studied Hinduism and take the best pieces from all of them to lead you and guide your life. And I would chant Nam-myoho Renge Kyo and so I was thinking of of Buddhism and the Polynesians and the ocean and Owe Ha Mene Maneo. I just came up with a phrase to open a show. And here we are. We were gathered all together. It's Perry style, the way that would come about.
Sure.
I'm going to start the fire. Owe Ha Mene Mane, Owe Ha. And here is where we start the chanting together. I'm going to chant and stomp on the floor. We're going to sing and dance tonight, people. And I'm going to chant and stomp on the floor. Owe Ha to you. And it became an Owe Ha, a phrase to you like Owe Ha, like mahalo, Owe Ha.
Okay, let's listen.
was your brother. The sea was your father. And the sun was your mother. Would you be scared if life didn't bother to take you along and be friends with you? Always had a heart of gold. Never did what I was told. I like to sit and watch the world. On some roof on top of giants, where my fears of life will all let go. I'm just a city kid with a heart of a buffalo. I'm just a city kid with a heart of a buffalo. Among the steel and the smoke of the city, it's one big urban prairie where peace may not come easy. But to me there is a calm, a message to this madness, where the love is very strong, occasionally some sadness.
For Pedro, so last music for this edition. Start that chunk off with Oweha, Sick Walt. Then Knee, tune from a band called Death Will Occur. Yeah, that's a good bet. And then finally, Sick Walt with Heart of a Buffalo. That's a good one to go out on. Heart of a Buffalo.
Thank you.
And what's your next plan here, Sick Walt?
We're playing Bedford Hills Prison. We're writing a second Sick Walt record. I have some beautiful musicians in my life right now. I'm working with some different. We have a song coming out, a single, Steel Angel, coming out shortly. Riding that wave of music and creativity and expression, trying to balance it with life at the ages we are. Dealing with life coming out off of COVID, and that was global changing. Taking politics and all that shit out of it, but just the fact of dealing with it as a human, of facing, wondering if we're facing extinction, and wondering, getting back on your feet and reassessing your life and what is important to you, your life. If you're going to take everything away and I have to stay in my house for 2 years, like, what is the next? It was a long time. People did some long meditation and reflection if you used it wisely. And, I'm finding that balance and coming out like, all right, music means a lot to me, and seeing what it does for me again, and getting it rolling again with my good friends and expressing myself. And I'm really looking forward to taking those creative walks again to start writing some beautiful songs.
That's beautiful. And what about advice? You know, I love the fact that you didn't. Some people, I didn't do it as a kid. I can't do it now. You can start music anytime you want, right?
Anytime you want. Anytime. The word artist is just an umbrella for expression. And how many musicians do we know that paint on the side, or you just sit there and write your thoughts in a book and it becomes poetic, and your poetry, it's express yourself. It's got to come out in some way and channel that. Just channel that feeling and nurture it and go with it. And if you feel like singing, go sing, because it's going to be therapeutic to your life in some way, shape, or form. Go to a karaoke room, close the door, and do it. And you're singing, and you will sing, and that will become a spiritual ceremony with you, yourself, and the universe, and the lords of this world. And express yourself and hit that creative, that nerve. And it's one of the greatest, it's the most divine and beautiful thing. And you know, Michael, that's what brought me here to you, to we met, because it's been so long interwoven of shaking hands at different shows like this. And I know you know a million people. So when Chris brought me to you like this, it was just the divine tying of the bow.
Oh, beautiful, Sukwal. Thank you so much. And I want to thank you for being on the show.
I can't wait to see you in person.
Absolutely. And when you get this next album done, please come back on the show. Let's play it and talk about it.
Absolutely, man. Stay well. Thank you very much.
Okay, people, it's been the April 7th, 2023. This is Watt Pedo Show. Keep your powder dry.